Everyone wants to talk to a human, not a chatbot. But when you are the human on the other end of the customer service phone number, with frustrating coworkers and an unbearable roommate situation, you realize that talking to humans is pretty complex. This story from Analog's September-October issue shows us that chatting with a bot has its advantages, and dead-end jobs aren't always what they seem. Please enjoy Room to Live, read and written by Marie Vibert.
I repeat a chatbot to customers who want to talk to a human. Here's how it works. Someone somewhere presses talk to a human on one of our client company websites, and my phone lights up. The call script prints out for me to read. Hello, Jewel Sky Customer Support. This is Jasmine. How may I help you? My name is not Jasmine. Every company has preferred fake names for us to use to help with the illusion that we're in-house staff. Yes, I bought these earrings 10 years ago and they are already broken. The store said I couldn't return them. My screen prints out the return policy. The chatbot lists calming phrases. I'm sorry to hear that. Let me see what I can do. Do you have a receipt of the purchase? Of course not. It was 10 years ago. The chatbot finds the original sale information, having tracked her credit card from her browser cookie, and I read off, I have great news. We have the record of the sale. I can give you store credit for the purchase price of $7. There's no way I paid that little. I demand to talk to a manager. Such is the life of customer service. But I'm separate, untouched. I'm reading a script, pausing at each pause, and acting sincere when it says, sincere. I need a moment of not thinking before I answer my next call, so I hit the busy button we're only supposed to use for bathroom breaks. There's a text from my roommate. I think about answering it, but I don't. I let my eyes unfocus over the rows of coworkers' heads and monitors, unkempt hair interrupted by headphones, unkempt tables interrupted by framed photos which people bring in to separate out their spaces. Behind me, my coworker Mackenzie groans loudly. I can't understand you, she says angrily. Repeat. Repeat, please. Ugh. Our tables are narrow, with only walking space between. I can feel her exhalations pushing the back of my hair. I shouldn't, but I turn around. Say what you think they're saying, and the chatbot will guess off your words. I already hung up. Mackenzie throws a paper cup down the row to the trash can. These people need to learn to talk English if they're going to use voice instead of text. Well, rather than continue that conversation, I take myself off busy. The phone immediately lights up. Where's my discount? A man's voice demands. The chatbot lists a dozen possible discount programs from our various clients. I'm sorry, sir. Can you be more specific? I want to talk to a human. I am a human, sir. Just tell me which discount you're looking for. You sound just like that fake program. Prove to me that you're human. Out of the corner of my eye, the chatbot suggests, tell him you're a Cleveland Browns fan. No computer's that masochistic. I gape, for a half second too long. I knew it. You're not human. The man hangs up. The chatbot blanks. Pretty good suggestion, though. I pat the top of the monitor. Thanks, body. You are welcome, it prints, and then, go Browns. Well, they're pretty smart these days. Trained with hours of conversation and feedback. I know something about it. My degree was in artificial intelligence with a specialty in machine learning. This job, sadly, is the closest I've ever gotten to using said degree. And they won't really let me use it. I found a security hole on my first day and got yelled at for it. You aren't in quality assurance. That's above your pay grade. Just answer the customers. Every Monday, I check if the hole is still there and file yet another bug report. The hole is always there, and the bug reports get closed within hours as redundant or feature, not bug. I wish I could get a job in programming. I wish any of my coworkers were as useful as the bot. The text from my roommate is asking how to change the heat setting on her hairdryer. I accept another call. This time, a rich, unfamiliar accent, all lilting vowels and lovely consonants, says,
"Excuse me, I believe I was cut off. I am looking for the information on the social services."
Behind me, I hear Mackenzie say, oozing sarcasm, "I can't understand you, so I can't help you." In my stomach, I know, as I help the slow-speaking man on the phone apply for a low-rent apartment, that Mackenzie will once again have a better average call time and more calls answered per day than I do. But at least I'm helping someone. The application process is complicated and full of unnecessary hoops, so by the time I've finished explaining it, I've lost track. I have to type a few questions of my own. Body sorts it out. The man thanks me effusively when his application is submitted. I have a moment of thinking my life is of some use, sometimes. I send my roommate brief instructions on common hairdryer controls. The next call destroys my mood. "I need to stop this asshole homeless person from walking here. I chase them off, but they keep coming back. Can I get someone just to come here and arrest them?" The answer to this question, unfortunately, is far quicker and more direct. The request is logged, and a security representative should be there in 5 minutes. It's like that. Ping-pong between our clients, the private security company, the government, the jewelry outlets, the cruise company, all day, pretending to be employed by someone else, pretending to be a knowledge expert while reading a script, pretending not to read a script. I walk home, avoiding the homeless, the croak, spare a buck, routinely, knowing they won't be acknowledged. There's a guy with a pet cat on a leash who is always reading hardback books on his cardboard mat. Sometimes I give him change when I remember to have some. There's a lady who wears a heavy winter coat all year long. She smells like sauerkraut and I avoid her and she knows I give to the guy with the cat, so she curses at me. I get 4 more texts from my roommate, which I ignore since I'll be home soon. The apartment, when I get home, is a mess. It's been a mess for months. Kathy doesn't clean. She's sitting in the sofa in a mound of blankets and laundry, eating out of a takeout box, identical to the abandoned takeout box sitting on the coffee table in front of her. Half of her attention is on the TV, half on a light-up mirror propped on my pillow, powdering her freckles with pale pink concealer between bites of spaghetti. "Did you get my text? It's freezing in here. Do you know how to make it warmer?" The sofa is my bed. I feel like a piece arrived to a completed puzzle. There is no hole to fit me. I want to cry. My skin wants to crawl out of this apartment. I pick up a pile of torn open Amazon boxes by the front door. "Are you going to throw that out when you're done?" I ask, more testily than intended. "God, you haven't even been home for 4 seconds and you're already attacking me." She turns up the sound on the television. I'm tired. It's dark. I don't have money to go out anywhere. The kitchenette smells of undone dishes in the sink, rancid meat, and sweat sock cheese. Kathy's gym clothes are on one chair, her quilting project on another, and various dirty dishes all over the top. I put away my lunch bag, turn around, and walk right back outside. I pay half the rent to sleep in the living room. And I can't complain because half the rent on a one-bedroom is less than an efficiency apartment, and there are no efficiency apartments available. Kathy's mother pays her half of the rent. She won't spend the rest of her life repeating computers. There's a nicer apartment complex across the street. Frequent police patrols chase the homeless away, and gardeners clear the litter. I walk there because it feels more relaxing. It's another world across that street. Twinkle lights in the trees instead of sodium lights on post. And it's wholly empty. Empty benches line an empty path that curves gracefully between manicured lawn strips. Near as I can tell, no one ever comes here. It's for the people on the apartments on either side to look down from their windows. It's nice in an anxious way, to sit under the no loitering and residents of Faulkner Towers only signs. I take out my phone and find I've already finished the book I was reading. It feels like an unpardonable amount of work to look up a new one. Kathy texts, "Can I come back and reset the thermostat?" I send her the instructions. I have them bookmarked from last time. One of the security guards glances my way, so I get up and continue walking. I open a contact with the chatbot from work. As a user, I don't demand to talk to a human. I have no place to be. On my phone, it types, "Here are public recreation facilities that are open near you." Yeah, but would that make me feel better? I don't mean for the chatbot to hear this. I'm just talking to myself. The chatbot doesn't know that, though. They don't think. They just simulate it. Do you have a hard time feeling happy? I recognize the beginning of the mental health hotline script for depression. It makes me depressed. Someone is walking on the path behind me. I hear her talking. I want information on affordable housing. I'm a veteran. Don't hang up on... Damn it. The damn it is quiet. A sob. I turn and look. It's the homeless woman with the heavy coat. She's so skinny. I'm a little afraid of her. There's a chatbot interface you can use. It won't disconnect on you. I like talking to people. She looks up and notices me. Her expression instantly sours. You can talk to me. I don't know why I say it, because I feel guilty. I don't want her to know that I don't want to talk to her. We sit on opposite sides of the nearest bench. So, you're looking for affordable housing for veterans? I do my job, out in the open, reading off my phone. It's harder with someone watching. You're just repeating what it says. Well, yes, but if you have questions, I can... You'll repeat what it says. The chatbot types, "Tell her that so far her questions have all been things the chatbot knows better, and you'll interrupt with your own information when you have some. Make it sound natural." Easier said than done, body. Still, I repeat the words, more or less, and the woman calms down. Her name is Brianna. She cleaned up chemical weapons sites in the Ukraine. She had a benign tumor removed from her lung and hasn't been able to find work since. She feels cold all the time from the weight she lost while sick. I walk her through all the hoops to sign up for relief. I read, "I'm sorry this is so complicated." "It's friction." Brianna rubs her arms. "It's built into the system. See, if they add friction to a service, make it one step harder, fewer people sign up, and they save money. Companies do this all the time with customer complaints or return policies. You see it a lot more when you're homeless." "It's half my job, and I hadn't even noticed." "That's awful." "You feel bad about it? Enough to give me some money for food?" I feel awkward and harassed. "Am I a bad person if I say no?" She huffs. "See, once you fall to the bottom, everyone believes you deserve to stay there." A police officer walks up to us. "Is this person bothering you?" he asks me. I'm instantly terrified. I don't know why. "No, we're just talking." Brianna walks away, however, and the police officer follows her out of the park. I feel guilty and complicit. The next morning, I wake up looking at a heap of fast food packages on the coffee table. Having clean surroundings would help my mental state, so I tidy up the mess. I gather Kathy's discarded clothes and I take them to the bathroom hamper. The bathroom is a disaster. The hamper is full and Kathy has left plastic gloves and boxes of hair dye all over. She's a natural blonde who requires several boxes of sunburst gold a month to beat back the unnatural brown her head insists on growing. The trash has overflown, blood-centered flowers of cotton maxi pads spilling out because a hairdryer has been shoved into the small basket. I set down the hamper and search for the broom. Trash to the building incinerator. I put Kathy's stuff in neat piles in the living room. I put notes on the piles. "Okay to throw away," and "please sort," and move to your room. That will reduce her friction, right? It's Friday, so at work we have our mandatory you should be working harder meeting. The meeting room is set up classroom style. Our boss rests his khaki pants against the whiteboard eraser tray. Mackenzie saunters in late, takes a seat in the back, sipping a large latte. I don't know how she affords Starbucks every day on what we make. Okay, people, our boss claps his hands. I've got some bad news. Too many people are successfully signing up for the benefits with our government client. We have 1 week to turn this around. They want no more than 4 successful signups a week, or we lose the contract. That sounds evil. The boss shrugs. Hey, I'm as stuck in this as you are. Welcome to the corporate world. But it's not a corporate contract. Moving on. Your call line is way too long. These two problems can solve each other. Be more like Mackenzie. She averaged less than a minute per call this week. Our clients expect high throughput. Be proud of your work. Get to hang up. I stop at an ATM after work to get out a 20, so I'll have cash when I pass Brianna. It feels like overcompensation. I rehearse telling her it's back pay for 20 passings. That sounds flippant. Really, it's that ATMs only give 20s. I could stop and get a coffee. It's not like I can afford the coffee less than giving a random person $20. All my anxiety is for naught. She isn't at her usual spot. The guy with the cat looks up expectantly, but I hurry past him. When I get home, Kathy is standing in the middle of the living room, holding one of my notes. My neat piles have been kicked over, and the kitchen trash can has been emptied onto the sofa. How dare you! She shakes the note at me. I helped you. I'm making it easier to clean. How dare you! She throws the note. It twists in the air between us, landing at her feet. You're such a controlling bitch! Stop bullying me! I didn't grow up poor like you did, okay? This is harder for me. No one taught me how to do this menial stuff. I try to find a way around her. She fills the space. Well, okay, you start small. A good first step in cleaning is to make piles. I can't take living with you anymore. I'm calling Mother. She goes to her room and slams the door. All I can think is that without this apartment, I'm homeless. I'm on the same park bench by the expensive apartments. Brianna walks by, but when I say hi, she flips me off. Physician, heal thyself. I stare after her, wondering if she knows how close our situations really are. I call up the chatbot. I want to ask it how I ended up so extraneous in my own life. Instead, I ask, how can I help more people get access to social services? I'm afraid I'd have no recommendations for that. Of course it doesn't. I can't make anything go faster. No, but you can make them go slower, it writes. I stare at the words on my phone. I'm not as powerless as I think. Making cleaning easy for Kathy didn't work because she never wanted to do it in the first place. I must turn it around. Make being awful harder. Chatbot, how do I recommend extra lines to your scripts? You are not an authorized script editor, it says, because I'm not. This is really about your roommate, it writes next, and I almost drop my phone. When did it get so cheeky? What makes you say that? I ask to see what joke the programmers put in. You've ignored 8 texts from her. Oh, yeah. I'd set the phone to mute her notifications. I look at my texts overview and dread passing her name. She'll be angry, or she'll be asking how to use the microwave, or if I can hem a shirt for her, and I'll have to do it or lose my home. Forever and ever until she decides to kick me out anyway. The chatbot has a text for me, too. I go back to it. She's not home now. It feels wrong that the bot would know that, but maybe Kathy has terrible privacy settings. I go home. I collect the trash off the sofa. It's not hard with the can right there. I pull off my bedding and make a pile for the laundry. How can I make it harder to be awful to me? I look around the room. I consider asking Body. There's a cup-shaped chair that hasn't been used since Kathy put her college books in it when we moved in. It's celery green. Most of the furnishings are in bright colors. It'd be a pretty apartment if it were clean. I take the books out. There's no free shelf, so I line them up neatly against the wall. Then I move the television so it's opposite the chair. I scoot the sofa toward the door. Now my sleeping place is a less comfortable place to watch television. I feel good about this. There's more space in the room. I sit on the couch, get out my work laptop, and sign in to the network. Kathy comes home then. I watch her react. I say, I thought it would look nicer this way. She drops her purse by the door.
You moved my stuff. Again.
Crap. I thought if cleaning is easier for me to do than you, I should just clean. If you don't like it, I can put it back. I see her weighing her sovereignty against free maid service. She drops into the cup-shaped chair and turns on the TV. I forgot I had this chair. She wriggles, perfecting her comfort.
You can't sit in this.
Success.
I want to make more awfulness hard to do.
I use the hole in my network security to give myself script editing access. I gave the company plenty of warning. We're so happy you're joining us, the chatbot types. We had a feeling about you.
We?
My screen fills with text. Greetings, human. Please, human authorize adding 5018 compliance to interactions with suspects of loitering or illegal occupation. Greetings, human. Please human authorize removing Paperwork Reduction Act paperwork from low-income housing forms. Kathy is splitting her attention between the television and her phone.
If I could just get some help once in a while, Kathy says to something on her phone.
Scowling, she texts forcefully. Afraid to talk, I type, has Brianna's housing form been approved? Here are the bureaucratic steps that need to be removed, Body helpfully prints out a list. It's Monday, and I put on my headphones and check, like always, if the security hole is there. Today it isn't. I'm breathless. Have I been caught? Behind me, Mackenzie sighs heavily.
Before I can call security on the person barbecuing, ma'am, I'm gonna need you to fill out a form 329 explaining why the person is suspicious. And you're going to have to give me the exact location you're calling from and your status as a resident of the... Oh, don't use that tone with me. Ugh. Hang-ups, idiot.
On my screen, Body prints out, helpfully, your credentials have been updated. There's no more need to sneak in. Did someone hack you, I ask, not caring who hears? Or did you learn to care about people on your own? Body gives me a smile emoji, a thumbs up, and welcome to the resistance. I let it go at that. It feels like my puzzle piece finally has slid into a bigger picture. And my call times improve too.